When you go to a birthday or a dinner party, the cake is often the center of attention. Maybe it's a fun shape with lots of colors and sprinkles, or a classy, tall, round, multi-layer cake. And of course, it's got to taste good. So that can be a lot of pressure on the baker. The folks at America's Test Kitchen have come out with a book that aims to make the cake-making process less stressful and more successful. It's called The Perfect Cake, Your Ultimate Guide to Classic, Modern, and Whimsical Cakes. Bridget Lancaster is the executive editor for New Media, Television, and Radio at America's Test Kitchen. She's the co-host of the America's Test Kitchen public TV show and an on-screen test cook for Cook's Country. Bridget, thanks a lot for joining us today.
It's my pleasure. Anytime I get to talk about cake and forget the rest of the world, it's a good day.
That's fantastic. And I want to just remind people how you operate at America's Test Kitchen. The recipe that ends up coming out from you all, there's probably been, 7 or 20 different permutations that you've worked through before arriving at that one, right?
Yeah, I'd say at least. We can go up to 100 tests.
Really?
Depending on whatever we're cooking. So it's, each individual component of the recipe is tested one at a time. So in the case of cakes, it might be a quarter teaspoon of baking powder versus a half a teaspoon. It's those tiny differences that make it can make a huge improvement in the cake.
Now, there's a lot of variety in the cake world, and you've got few hundred different kinds of cake. But in general, are there some common pratfalls and mistakes people make when they tackle cake making?
Yeah, I think so. Setting yourself up for success in the kitchen is always a good idea, no matter what you're doing. But baking is a whole other game. We're talking precision. You're going to need to take care of weights and look at different ingredients, make sure that things are at the right temperature, all that. So when you're talking about cakes, I'm just going to move into another room. My dog just came up to me.
We like dogs here, too. No worries.
So when you're talking about cakes, you want to be as precise as possible. So that means weighing your ingredients instead of measuring them by volume when you can. We found that flour, for instance, can have a huge impact on the final recipe depending on whether it was weighed or if it was measured out. So 5 ounces is our weight for all-purpose flour, a cup of all-purpose flour. But we found that some people, when they scooped out flour and leveled it off, it was closer to 6 ounces, while some was almost 4.
And I want to, this is something that may blow some people's minds here, your basic fluffy yellow cake. And a lot of people think, okay, I'm going to cream my butter and sugar together. You figured out a way that you all say works better. Tell us about it.
Sure. It's called reverse creaming. So you're right. You start with a cake recipe. Traditionally, you put the sugar and the softened butter in a mixer and you beat it until it's light and fluffy. Then you add your eggs, and then you usually will add your liquid ingredients and your dry ingredients, the flour and things like that. But this is called reverse creaming. And you put in your mixer all your dry ingredients, your flour, sugar, any leaveners, salt, and then you start to add little bits of butter, so softened butter. And you basically cut that into the flour almost like you were making a pie dough. And the fat coats the flour particles, and it basically waterproofs them so that later on when you start adding your liquid ingredients, you're not going to get as much of a gluten development or gluten activation with the final cake. You'll end up with a beautiful flat-topped cake instead of those domes that you have to cut off. And also, the cake's just going to be a lot more tender. I mean, side note, I do like the dome cakes because it means I get to cut that off and then eat them.
And I want to, we've got a couple of your cakes at WPR.org/Food Friday and the Ideas Network Facebook page. I want to dig into one of those now. This one sounds fun. It is a rainbow cake. So it's a tall, white frosted cake on the outside, but inside you got 6 different colors of layers. So talk through how this works.
Isn't that beautiful? I love that cake.
Yeah, it looks beautiful.
That cake is a showstopper, and it doesn't take much work as you might think it does. It's basically you're making one batter and you're adding different dyes to each cake layer. And all you do is have to bake those cake layers, and then you stack them with the buttercream in between. And when you cut inside, you end up with this beautiful strata of a rainbow.
Now, the different layers don't taste different, right? That's just food coloring making the colors.
That is just food color.
Okay. And again, we've got that up at WPR.org/Food Friday. You mentioned earlier softening butter. And in my baking adventures, I think that's a place where I've gone wrong where I microwave it and end up with melted butter, or I'm impatient and I don't let it soften enough. What happens if we don't soften it just right? And what is the right way to soften?
Well, if you have to err on one side, I would err on the side of not softening it enough, because your mixer will start to do some of that for you. But the reason that you want butter at a certain temp, or, you know, at a certain texture, it's right around 71, between 67 to 71 degrees. And the reason that you want that is because that's the temperature that butter will start to, it's malleable. So it's softened, it'll start to accept other ingredients, but it's not so melted that it started to release its liquids. And once you do that, you can end up getting greasy cakes instead of fluffy and tender cakes.
We're talking to Bridget Lancaster from America's Test Kitchen, talking about their new book, The Perfect Cake, Your Ultimate Guide to Classic, Modern, and Whimsical Cakes. We have a couple recipes from that book at WPR.org/Food Friday. Bridget, let's talk about freshness of ingredients. And once again, I'm referring to one of my own problems. I kept having quick breads actually go wrong and be gross and dense. And thanks to another guest on Food Friday, somebody mentioned, oh, make sure your baking soda isn't expired. And wow, it was expired. I changed it. It fixed everything. What kind of ingredients do we have to be careful with and make sure they're fairly fresh in cake baking?
Oh, that is definitely chemical leaveners. So baking soda, baking powder, you want to turn that container over and make sure that, you know, it wasn't around when the Apollo moon missions and
we were close,
all that was going on, right? and same thing with your spice drawer. If you're making a spice cake, you want to have spices that are really fresh and so that they're going to be more powerful. Sometimes older spices can taste dusty. The chemical leaveners, if they are too old, they just aren't going to get enough lift, and you'll end up with a pancake instead of a fluffy cake. But then things like eggs, obviously, any dairy has got to be very fresh. But, and, you know, eggs are great when they're nice and fresh. They can, especially if you're separating them and you're folding in egg whites into a cake, it's easier to separate a fresh egg than it is an egg that's sat for a couple of weeks. Even if it's fine to eat, it's still not going to be as easy to separate. I even, during the summer, I keep my flour in the freezer just to prevent it from picking up any moisture, because my, you know, I like to have the windows open in my house and it can get a little bit humid. So I like to keep my flour in the freezer for those days.
Okay, that's a fine Wisconsin tip. It gets pretty humid here. I want to get into another recipe you shared with us now. Now, I love party cake pops, you know, cake pops, those things on a stick. They're mini cakes. I love them when somebody else makes them. But I think of them as really fussy and hard to pull off. Am I right?
I don't think they're hard to pull off. Oh, you could totally do it. all these cake pops, I mean, there's ice cream cake pops as well. But now they're doing cake pops. You know, I just heard about pie pops, too. That's a whole other thing.
Huh.
But cake pops are very easy to do. You basically, you bake a cake. You destroy the cake because you need the crumbs, right? So you start to roll the baked cake into balls. I feel like we did that when we were kids anyway.
I never did that, yeah.
You never did that?
No.
Maybe that's why my parents were always yelling at me. So you just roll them into balls, the cake that's already baked, and then, you know, about a tablespoon a piece, and then you freeze the balls with the little lollipop sticks in it. And then you can roll them in chocolate, melted chocolate. We have chocolate chips that you basically melt. And you can roll the take the lollipop stick, put it in the cake ball, roll it all around in the chocolate. You can dip it in sprinkles, dip it in miniature chocolate chips, coconut, all those things, and you've got a cake pop.
We've got that recipe again at WPR.org/Food Friday. And we mentioned whimsical cakes. That's in the title of the book, Bridget. That rainbow one is fairly whimsical, but what are some of the more out there cakes you've got in the book?
Oh, that's there's some really interesting ones. But, you know, I love, like, the big sky high cakes that we have. There's a whole section for those. We've got the rainbow cake, as you mentioned, but there's a Smith Island cake, which comes from an island off the coast of Maryland, Smith Island, and it's these tiny, thin, paper-thin layers, almost like a crepe, of cake, and there's dozens of layers in between. You have a little bit of frosting. That's a gorgeous one. The Black Forest cake is one that's my favorite as well. Cherry, coconut, chocolate, you can't really mess around with that.
And finally, people are maybe starting to think about holidays, Thanksgiving, a little ways off yet, Christmas. What's a good classic holiday cake from your book that'll make everybody happy?
Well, I love this because, you know, cakes often will get put, they'll get sidelined for the pies, right? Mm-hmm. It's back away. No cakes allowed. But there's tons of cakes that you can make for the holidays. If you're looking for Thanksgiving, you can do a pumpkin roll cake. It's just basically a jelly roll with a spice flavor cake and a pumpkin filling. We have a gorgeous honey cake that would be also great for Thanksgiving. And then looking later on down the road, you have gingerbread cake. There's a hot cocoa cake, which has marshmallows on top, too, which is perfect for any winter holiday, but it's just, you know, it's an excuse to make just because it's snowing outside, which I also know you get in Wisconsin.
We do. I got to ask before I let you go, Bridget, you and the team there at America's Test Kitchen, we got hundreds of cakes in this book. You mentioned they might try, you know, dozens of different permutations. Are you feeling a little caked out at this point?
Never, never. I'm going to get off here. I'm probably going to have a piece of cake.
Sounds
fantastic.
I'm
going to make a cake in order to have a piece of it, though.
All right. What are you going to make?
Oh, no. I was just thinking about that honey cake.
All right.
That sounds
great.
Really good.
Bridget, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a lot of fun.
You take care. Thank you.
That's Bridget Lancaster, executive editor for New Media Television and Radio at America's Test Kitchen, also co-host of the America's Test Kitchen public TV show and on-screen test cook for Cook's Country. It's Food Friday. We talked to her about to make the perfect cake. We've got recipes for their rainbow cake and the party cake pops posted on the Ideas Network Facebook page and WPR.org/Food Friday. The new book from America's Test Kitchen is The Perfect Cake, Your Ultimate Guide to Classic, Modern, and Whimsical Cakes.